Welcome to Hour 2 of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck, and with me, of course, is Clay. And we are going to be kicking those lines wide open for you this hour. 800-282-2882, open line Friday. Roll it on here. 800-282-2882. We are very pleased to be joined now by the senator, one of them, from the great state of Tennessee, Senator Marsha Blackburn is with us. Senator, thank you so much for making the time.
I'm delighted to join you. Thank you.
So how do you feel about, let's just start with where your state is now, you know, which is also Clay's state, Tennessee, when it comes to the situation of COVID and how we're trying to get back to normalcy here?
Well, in Tennessee, we have been open for quite a while. And as I am talking to Tennesseans on this, they are saying, look, we're being careful. People are talking to their doctors. If they're a candidate for a vaccine, they're getting the vaccine. And what they want to make certain is that we get people back to work, that children get back to school, and that those children, when they go to school, are not going to have to wear masks. I have heard from so many parents that have elementary school children, and they talk about the health issues, whether it's mental health, physical health, emotional health, and the effects of these masks on children.
Senator Blackburn, thanks for coming on. This is Clay. We live in basically the same area, which is a great area in the state of Tennessee. My kids went back to school today. I started off the show talking about it. We got to go into the classroom, meet the teachers, shake their hands like normal parents would, see the other parents, see the other kids. No masks, and it felt so good to be back to a form of normalcy. How important is it for regular people, kind of people like you and me and everybody out there listening to us right now, to get on with their lives in a normal fashion, no matter where they may live? COVID's not going away. We can't shrink in terror forever.
Well, and Clay, that is the thing, and I hear it from people every day, whether I go to the grocery store or church or one of the grandkids' games. What I hear from people is we want life to go back to normal. And what you're talking about, those things of being able to take your child into the school building and go to the classroom and go through that day with them, that is something that is, it's not only important to the emotional health of the child, that's important to the family to be able to have that, to share that experience, to talk about the day, to talk about how important it is to be able to get in the car together and go to the fair without a mask on and see your friends and, you know, go to the pool because it is really hot and see your friends and do those things that we all consider to be normal participations in our everyday life. And people want that. They do not want the federal government to come in and mandate masks or mandate vaccines or to mandate lockdowns. But here's what we have to realize. The left likes lockdowns because it gives them control. They would like to have a permanent pandemic. They would like to keep you in that state so you're dependent on them. You look at the bills and things that are coming through us. What are they trying to do? Make people dependent on the federal government by taking more money out of your pocket, having it go to Washington, D.C., go to programs that will have outlived their usefulness by the time our kids and grandkids have to start paying this bill. That's what they like.
Senator Blackburn, it's Buck again, and I've talked to you before several times about the unfolding or just continuing disaster at our southern border. I know you're very vocal on this issue. You're speaking about control before. It seems like the Biden administration is choosing to be out of control when it comes to what's happening at the U.S.-Mexico border. What can you tell us about where this stands right now, both in terms of any possible action in the Congress to deal with this? I mean, we know it's not there yet, but could there be in the future? And also what it means, again, in Tennessee.
Well, before the Senate right now, I have an amendment to this infrastructure behemoth, which, by the way, is not paid for. I have an amendment that would allow them to put $1 billion into a shovel-ready infrastructure project. And that amendment says, let's take $1 billion out of Amtrak, and which has already been given billions of dollars, and let's put that on the southern border to build a wall. That is a shovel-ready infrastructure project. Everything is there. You need to build it. And by the way, it would save us some money, because right now we're having to pay people to guard all of the equipment and supplies and the border wall components. We're having to pay people to guard it. So let's put $1 billion in here and build that wall. Now, that is something that the Border Patrol has been telling us if they need President Trump. Listen to him. He gave them the ability to have more equipment, more boots on the ground, started building the wall. The Biden administration's immigration policy is a disaster. They have turned every town into a border town, every state into a border state, because of the over 1 million illegal immigrants from 150 plus countries that have come into this country since Joe Biden took the oath of office. And the cartels, you know, Buck, as we have talked, the cartels are running that border. They are making money off of every individual that crosses that border. These people are being subjected to physical and sexual abuse, and the cartels are making money off of human trafficking, sex trafficking, drug trafficking, labor gangs, and MS-13 gangs. And this is what we are seeing in our communities. Build the wall, secure the border. It's a great infrastructure project. That is something that we should agree to move forward on.
Senator Blackburn, you mentioned the infrastructure bill. I want to talk about the budget here for a moment, which I know is going to be up next. Kristen Sinema came out, senator from Arizona, and said she wasn't in favor of the $3.5 trillion price tag. I think Joe Manchin basically has let it be known he is not either. Have you been talking to either of those senators? I know it's as much of an art as it is a science, but what does this budget number end up looking like to you, given that the Democrats have to get 50 in order to get through reconciliation? What's the cost going to be based on what you're hearing?
What I'm hearing on that $3.5 trillion, it's really going to be more like $5 trillion. Now, bear in mind, they have already spent $1.9 trillion, and now they want to spend another $1.2 on infrastructure. So you're up a little bit over three. Now, Bernie's budget is 3.5, but it's going to be more like 5. And what I think we have to do is back up and look at what has happened with our nation's debt. If you, and I've got a graph on my social media and my website on this. If you were to start at George Washington and go to George W. Bush, the day he left office, the debt was at $10.6 trillion. That was too much for me, but that's what the nation's debt was. Then during Obama's term as president, basically we doubled that number. They literally ran the numbers off the credit card. Then you have President Trump, and he added to it, started trying to cut back on regulations and size of federal government. We had COVID hit. So you had debt get added there, and now Biden is pushing us to $30 trillion in debt, and he has been in office for 6 months. This is something our children and grandchildren, they are going to be paying this in the form of higher taxes. And this budget that Bernie is pushing forward, it has a cap gains tax increase. It has a corporate tax increase. And by the way, if you are a small business person, that one's going to get you. The marginal rates are going to go up. That is going to get a lot of our small
It's also
owners.
Retroactive, yeah. Which is crazy to me,
yeah.
Senator Blackburn. Like,
exactly.
Nobody's hardly talking about that, but we don't even know what the rates are going to be. Say you're a business person right now, they could go back and say, hey, you've been paying tax without even knowing what the rates. It's madness.
Well, it is madness, because you're right. they want to make it retroactive to the first of the year. Guess what? Joe Biden wasn't even president on January 1. But what they're wanting to do is make it retroactive to the first of this calendar year. So we're just continuing our push to stop as much of this bad action as we possibly can. I've got, you know, a total of 30 amendments on that bill, that infrastructure bill, and slowing this process down, having people look at it and become aware, having them contact their legislators and saying, hey, we do not want you to vote for this infrastructure bill, and we certainly don't want you to vote for this budget.
Senator Marsha Blackburn, thank you so much for being with us from the great state of Tennessee. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Clay, have you ever done a quit claim deed or a warranty deed? You ever gone through the process?
Yes, I have. Fortunately, I have.
Isn't it kind of amazing how you just print something off and you sign it and it's really not.
Next thing you know, it's yours.
You'd think it'd be a lot harder. And that's why the FBI is saying that home title fraud is one of the fastest growing crimes out there. That's why Clay and I both have home title lock on our homes, because your title is stored in the cloud. That's right. It's out there in the cyber realm. And that's where the cyber thieves find it. They then print something off. They forge your signature. It's really easy to do this. It's terrifying how easy it is, honestly. I even had a notary tell me once, they just forge our notary stuff too. So you want to make sure you're protected, because otherwise you could end up with loans that you never took out, okay, demanding payments on it, and you could even lose your home entirely to an eviction notice. Clay, Home Title Lock is why we're protected.
No doubt. And for just pennies a day, Home Title Lock will help secure your home's title and back it with $1 million guarantee. Right now, you can register your address to see you're already a victim, and you'll get 30 days free when you call 800-708-LOCK. That's 800-708-LOCK, 800-708-LOCK. See the website for guarantee details.
Continuing the message, honoring the memory, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton. We are rolling through the program. Hope all of you are having a fantastic start to your Friday. Marsha Blackburn there. I mean, Buck, I don't know about you. When we're talking about, I think we had the same conversation with Ron Johnson earlier this week, Senator from Wisconsin, where he said, look, the cost of this budget bill is sort of under wraps at $3.5 trillion. But if you actually look at the numbers and play them forward, it's going to be closer to $5 trillion or more. This is the Bernie budget bill, and so much of this is art as opposed to science. We know the infrastructure bill is going to cost $250 billion, according to the estimates that came out late last night. I don't know how this ends, but it ain't going to be good.
It ends with a lot of spending, Clay.
Yeah.
It ends with the Democrats ramming this thing through using reconciliation. And really the only question that we're going to see answered here, other than how much crazy spending are we really talking about, is going to be, do they manage to get something past the parliamentarian in the Senate? I mean, they're trying to get really aggressive stuff, like essentially an amnesty for, I believe, about 5 million people through, claiming that would affect the budget through the welfare rolls that would change as a result of it. So they're just, whatever they can try to shoehorn into this, that's their plan. That's what they're going for. But we're going to see how it plays out, because Democrats, unfortunately, with the way things are right now, have the votes. Although I still think this Biden administration is feeling the heat in a lot of ways. They can talk about the insurrection all day, and they can pretend like they've got a handle on the COVID situation. But I think people who are persuadable by reality, which is 40 to 45% of Democrats don't fit into that category to begin with, but those who are persuadable by reality around them, I think, are starting to see this is not as good as it should be. We did have open line Friday call outs here, so we promised you we'd get to some of that. Clay, want to get to Joe in Cape Canaveral, Florida?
Let's dive in.
What do you got for us, Joe?
Hey guys, longtime fan of you, Clay. New to you, Buck, but you guys are doing a great job.
Thanks.
Appreciate that.
I was raised by a teacher in the inner city, Pittsburgh. She was my father was a Teamster for 36 years. So I was a union kid. But, you know, my wife now is a teacher in Florida, and she has all the special ed degrees. And what's sad over the past 2 years is the kids who were supposed to get held back, and my wife's always in those meetings trying to decide, can this kid make the jump or do they need to be held back in elementary school, which is the foundation when you want to kids, you want to hold kids back if they need held back. In the past 2 years, no child in our area has been held back because of the all the restrictions. And, you know, especially the charter schools who treat their parents and students like customers, they're not going to hold the children back because they'll go somewhere else. And that is dangerous, and it's only going to hurt them going forward. And, you know, we're going to have a ton of kids like those stats you gave in, I think it was Newark, that were just awful and disgusting. They were awful and disgusting 2 years ago, but now they're abysmal.
I mean, yeah, Joe, just to put it in context, we're talking about only 30%, let's say, I think it was maybe 35% of third graders proficient in whether it was reading or math. I mean, remember, we're not talking about people that are performing well, having baseline state assessed proficiency. When it goes down to 10%, that means 90% of kids in the third grade in Newark in this school sample can't do very basic math or can't do very basic, reading and writing.
And when you think about what's going to happen, those kids get then promoted, which is happening, right? No kids are getting held back to try to learn remedially those skill sets that they didn't get before. It puts an entire classroom of kids at a disadvantage. And, you know, sometimes the water finds its weight, so to speak. The class can rise or fall together. Instead, they're all going to be falling together. I think this is the biggest failure that is going to be generationally impactful as it relates to COVID and completely, of all of them, and there's a bunch.
And completely unnecessary. I mean, Joe, totally. Thanks for calling in from Florida. That's the other part of this, Clay. I mean, if you just took a look at what was happening with the data, by June of 2020, it was really obvious that children weren't being affected by this in a way that was of high concern, and that if there were going to be frontline employees in a whole bunch of different areas of the country, teachers should have been considered frontline employees, slash private and parochial schools were in person and did not become super. So it's not like this is theoretical. Public school teachers were told, you stay home, private and parochial. I went to a Catholic school here in New York City. They were still going, right? They still had in-school learning happening in the fall of 2020. I'm talking about now in the fall of 2020. And there's no excuse for this other than the power politics involved here were that the Democrat-controlled unions, or really the unions that control the Democrats, depending on how you look at it, wanted to have people working remote, Clay. That was it.
Yeah, and again, the people who are going to bear the brunt of this are the people that are least likely. Like, Cori Bush wanted to sleep. We were talking with her about her and the clips that she had on the steps to advocate for an unconstitutional eviction issue. Where was she, Buck, when she needed to be standing up for all those kids? That's a question.
Who's watching your money these days, folks? I can tell you this, it's not your financial advisor. He's probably sipping a cocktail somewhere, just trying to collect whatever percentage he gets from not doing a very good job. You need my friends at Carnivore Trading right now. Carnivore Trading levels the playing field, delivering in real time what their experienced traders are thinking right now. All of us, from newbies to experienced traders, have access to their explosive trades. For the first time, Carnivore will let you try their service for free. This is your chance to see and mirror Carnivore's explosive trades in real time. There's no obligation. Go to getourtrades.com and use promo code USA. That's getourtrades.com, promo code USA. Getourtrades.com, Carnivore Trading, real trades, real time. See website for terms and conditions. Past performance, no guarantee of future earnings.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Flying through the show today on the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck, and Clay and I are trying to make sense of everything with you right now all across the country. We have Open Line Friday in effect. Pretty obvious because it's Friday. The number is 800-282-2882. That's 800-282-2882. We will get to a whole bunch of calls. They're already racked and stacked. First, we have a mission here, Clay. And one of the things that we're trying to do is to speak the truth about all the madness out there with regard to the way that vaccine passports are coming to New York City. As of today, it's still happening. And there's no willingness from the Biden administration to address the issue of what about those who have already had COVID and have antibodies and all the truth about it. Here's Dr. Marty Makary, who we're going to be having on this show next week to talk to us about this specific topic. But here he is on Fox News.
I wish we would change the lexicon and stop talking about the vaccinated and unvaccinated and just talk about the immune and non-immune. There's been this demonization of those who are not immune, not vaccinated, and it's unfounded. Those who are unvaccinated pose no risk to the vaccinated beyond that of a common cold.
And so there's so much here, Clay. I mean, one.
Yes.
This is what he's saying. Here's a doctor who's saying essentially what you and I have been talking about now for weeks, and I know so many of the people who are with us now feel the same way. The hysteria is being pushed by the vaccinated as though they're at substantial enough risk from the unvaccinated or from those who are likely to get COVID if exposed to it that their hysteria is warranted, and it's just not. I mean, this is the problem. And then beyond that, we should also be talking about immunity that is inclusive of those who have had the virus. But instead, what you have is, you know, CNN, I actually was surprised by this yesterday, just straight up fired three employees. This broke yesterday. Jeff Zucker, you know, had them booted because they showed up to work and they had not been vaccinated, which I also would want to know, maybe they just told people or something, but how they find out about this. I used to think, Clay, there were HIPAA privacy regulations, things like that. Apparently not in the COVID era.
Well, this, again, is why I would tell you, listening to our conversation with Alex Berenson yesterday in the final hour of the program was so informative and illuminating, I think, for many of you, including us as well. But the way that we are defining, this has been something we've been arguing for a while. I don't understand, if you are vaccinated, why you care whether someone else is vaccinated, right? Like, at its most basic level, if you feel that it's the right decision for you and your family, why does it matter to you whether other people are vaccinated? They have chosen to take the risk, and there may be a variety of different reasons why they're not vaccinated. For instance, Buck and that's why I also think this Dr. Makary interview and discussion, which we're going to have with him on Monday, is so interesting, is he has come out and pointed out that there's a big difference between people who have natural immunity and vaccine immunity. And we both have natural immunity because we both already had COVID. Well, a huge percentage, I would bet, of people that are ending up unvaccinated are making the choice not to get the vaccine because they've already had COVID and no one talks about it. Have you ever heard Biden mention the idea? We hear all the time, hey, 70% of 18 and up have been vaccinated. We don't hear it as often, but I do think it's significant. 90% of people who are 65 and older have gotten at least one shot, and those are the people that are at the most risk. And this, there's this idea that the remainder, that 30% of adults, everybody else who hasn't made that choice, is doing it to willfully choose not to take the vaccine. But if you've already had it, I'll give you an example, Buck. I had chickenpox.
Yes, we know.
I've never had the chickenpox vaccine. There's never been a point in time where anybody has suggested to me, oh my God, how have you not gotten the chickenpox vaccine? You don't care about somebody's grandma. No, because I had chickenpox when I was a kid. I might have gotten a booster at some point. I don't even know. I've gotten the boosters for all the, it's not like I'm anti-vaccine. I've gotten the boosters for all those things. But usually, you never hear, oh, you had it. Well, now you have to go get it as well. And one of the great failures of our COVID response has been the lack of data that we have. We know in England, Buck, 92% of people either had COVID or have gotten the vaccine. We know in India, 2/3 of people have gotten COVID. Almost no one's gotten the vaccine. How do we not have that data here? It's absolute madness, right? How do we not have that? And why wouldn't we have it?
You know, the former star of the show Friends, Jennifer Aniston, has come out very publicly and said that she is cutting people out of her life now who are unvaccinated. Won't see them, won't be around them. This is what's happening. And now more and more offices and workplaces are doing this too. No one has explained how it's going to happen in New York City, that you're going to have bouncers checking, not necessarily bouncers, but someone checking
effectively
vaccine status at every place you're going to want to go, bars, restaurants, movies, etc., gyms, and how over half the city's African-American population right now is not vaccinated. Therefore, they're just going to be, as of a couple of weeks from now, a few weeks from now, excluded from all of that. Nobody has explained how that's okay, how that's going to not be a big problem. I mean, the de Blasio administration just seems to think that maybe by bluffing us all into this, everyone's going to rush out. There has been a surge in vaccination in some places, but it just goes to show you how much, the same way that masks went from an epidemiological, alleged epidemiological tool that then turned into a political symbol that then transformed into something more like a religious symbol for a lot of people. You're seeing the same thing with vaccines now. It's not even about whether you're at risk for a lot of folks. It's not even about whether you should be concerned with what someone else does. This is the campaign. Until 100% of those who can be vaccinated are vaccinated in this country, there are a lot of folks out there who will continue to be unhappy with the situation and will insist. They will insist that there will be measures taken to force everybody else to have to go and do this. I mean, here's Governor Hogan, for example, who's just saying, and he's technically a Republican, which is always amazing. I'm pretty sure this guy's a Republican, Governor.
You're
Hogan.
Right.
And I mean, he's theoretically a Republican. Here he is.
I don't care what misinformation or conspiracy theories that you have heard. The plain and simple fact is that these vaccines are working. If you're still unsure about the vaccines, here is the important fact for you to consider. Nearly every single person hospitalized or dying with COVID-19 in Maryland right now is unvaccinated.
So he's just saying it's something that comes down to conspiracy theory. It comes down to people who have misinformation. Meanwhile, we can't get a very basic, straightforward answer on, okay, what about those who have had it?
And I think the challenge here is, and we talked about this with Alex Berenson yesterday, we are being sold, and I think this is where what you are being sold and what the reality ends up being is a significant issue. We're being sold on the idea that if 100% of Americans were vaccinated, COVID would have disappeared, wouldn't exist anywhere. I don't think that that is true if you look at the data that came out of Israel and the data that came out of England. But in the meantime, by the way, as we are rolling through this free-for-all Friday, want to let you know, not too long ago, we met Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and he fit us for our very own MyPillow, among other incredible products. We've got it all throughout the Travis household. I know Buck's got it all throughout his as well. You've heard us talk about it. But today, we want to talk to you about the towels. Mike's changing the game with a six-piece towel set. Set's made with U.S. cotton. We have it here. Extremely absorbent. Still has the soft feel you look for. Two bath, two hand towels, two washcloths. Usually that costs nearly $110. But Buck, right now, incredible offer.
Amazing low price, everybody. Thanks to Mike Lindell of $39.99 when you use the promo code ClayandBuck. Remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com, click on Radio Listener Specials to get this insanely low price of $39.99 on the towel set. You'll find deep discounts on other MyPillow products as well. Enter promo code ClayandBuck or call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials.
Having more fun than a human being should be allowed. Times two. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in. Friday edition. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show. We appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Buck, do you feel a little bit like we hit the middle of the week and there was such a frenzy with all of a sudden vaccine passports from de Blasio, Andrew Cuomo, and all the controversy? Finally, middle of our show, we get that report. And it's like people just kind of want to take a breath and slide into a weekend.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It feels kind of like a summer Friday, which we haven't really had because everything's been so frenzied for so many years now. But I was just kind of looking at the news stories. I got like you, CNN, Fox News. Feels like people are like, hey, let's just kind of slide into it. Now, maybe something crazy is going to happen in the next hour and I'll be like, oh, strike that. But it feels like kind of a slide into the Friday day.
Yeah, well, dude, it's August. And as you know, when all the journos go on vacation, especially begin in the middle, late August, all of a sudden less is happening in the world because there are less people to report on it.
Yeah,
but we
right.
could tell everybody to give them a little sense of insideriness here that somehow Clay and I managed to show up today without coordinating. Wearing the exact same color of like burnt orange t-shirt. Not like a white t-shirt
right.
or we somehow, they're different t-shirts, the same color. Where this is starting to get weird, folks.
Well, I mean, the one time we need somebody like looking at us is, I mean, we had Allie, who's our producer. We had a call for some advertisers and she was like, hey, you're going to wear blue and Buck's going to wear white. So we didn't look the exact same in the outfit because it happened on Fox News the one time we did a dual hit.
It actually looked like there was a Clay and Buck uniform that we
like
to
put on. It looked like we had planned it.
Yeah,
yes.
It looked like we had planned it. Anyway, so that was our fun little moment for today. That's what happens when you spend 3 hours a day doing a radio show together, folks. You start showing up wearing the same color patterns. Bruce in Wichita Falls. Good to have you on, Bruce.
How you doing?
We're good. What's up?
I'd like to have somebody address if there's a correlation between, I know the Biden administration is holding it pretty close to the vest as to where they're sending a lot of these illegals. Is there a correlation between the increase in COVID and where they're sending the illegal immigrants?
Now, Bruce, you know, it's interesting because we know that there's been some reporting that, and thank you for calling in from Wichita Falls, there have been thousands in the last 60 days alone, thousands of confirmed cases of illegal aliens crossing the border in violation of U.S. law and having COVID. We don't know because we have very, very weak data on where individuals who may have had COVID have gone, and we haven't been able to certainly prove. Look, there's a lot of COVID among the U.S. population in general. I think it's very unlikely that you'd be able to say that, you know, we don't know, but it's very unlikely that a vast majority of it is coming across the border right now. It's being spread in areas of the country where you couldn't point to illegal immigrants arriving as the major issue. So I don't think that's going on. But we shouldn't have right now, given the rules around entry into the United States, given the mandates about vaccination for people in different jobs. By the way, Clay, was it United Airlines that just
announced they're going to have vaccines? Yeah, I think to your point, Buck, the huge hypocrisy here, and I thought Ron DeSantis hit on it really strongly yesterday, was how are you going to be mandating these COVID vaccines in many different cities? For instance, the vaccine passports we were just talking about in New York City that LA is also looking at, and you're letting people come across the border without any COVID tests at all. And again, I think this is an important part. We kind of hit on it yesterday with Alex Berenson. If you're concerned about variants, and that seems to be what some of the vaccinated people will say, well, you have to get the vaccine too, because Delta variant, we could have, who knows what it's going to be, Zeta variant one day that's super, super contagious. Those are all going to come from outside of the country by and large, because 70% of adults in the United States are vaccinated now. And if that's the case, the countries where the variants are emerging are massively populated and with tiny levels of vaccination, right? And that, to me, is a really strong argument about the border that DeSantis kind of hit on in his attack on Biden over Florida.
That's why he was slapping down the Biden criticisms about Florida and Texas, which this has been one of the favorite ploys that the Democrats have used all along. They ignore data that they don't like, and then they just pound data as one snapshot in time. You know, if there's a 40% increase over the course of a week in cases in Florida, they'll say, oh my gosh, look what's happening. But
that's
okay,
right.
Well, what was the baseline in Florida before then? What's the baseline been the last 6 months? Is it the case that Florida is actually some kind of an outlier for being so bad for COVID hospitalizations and fatalities overall? No, it is not. So is it really an important data point to say that Florida would be up 30% over the last, let's say, 2 weeks when it comes to cases as a indicator of Ron DeSantis has done a bad job? That's the fake leap they make based upon cherry-picked data that we can't allow them to get away with. Rocky in La Vista. Where is that? Rocky, where are you?
Hey, I'm in La Vista, Nebraska.
Oh, La Vista, Nebraska. Great. Thanks, Rocky. What's up?
So I have a question for Clay. He was a lawyer. So with all these large corporations and the federal government mandating people to take these vaccines, are they now assuming the liability for adverse effects from the vaccine?
It's a fantastic question, Rocky. And I don't want to pretend that I'm the law and virology or the law and vaccination expert as it pertains to this question, but it's one that I have had asked a lot. And it is, let's pretend, I'm just going to toss out an employer here, all right? It's a big employer. Let's pretend you work at Disney. And let's pretend that Disney mandates you get the vaccine. And for most people, they will be totally fine. But when you get the vaccine for Disney, you have one of these rare reactions. And as a result, you have a significant health consequence. Would Disney, which mandated your vaccine, be liable for your ability to have taken that vaccine? Again, fantastic question. I don't know the answer officially because I am not an expert in the law of vaccination. And frankly, I don't know of a lot of cases like these. Buck, you may know differently, where there have been charges come out or
court cases be filed. I think this is an area of law where even the lawyers are still figuring out how this is going to go. And liability for businesses has been a big challenge here all along with whether, I mean, do they want to enforce these mandates or do they feel like they could be sued or... You know, that was a big challenge for reopen. But, you know, there's been some Democrats, in my mind at least, exploiting law enforcement suicides from a number of cops, Capitol Hill police, who have committed suicide in recent months. Let's talk about where we are with this and what's true, what's not, or what's known and what is not known at this stage, and how, once again, trying to weaponize a story for political effect. Plus, we'll get into more calls. Try to end later on in the hour on a high note for sure. 800-282-2882. The Clay and Buck Show hitting hour three here in just a moment.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.